Good morning, everyone. Hallelujah. It's good to be in God's presence, and His love never fails. Amen. So today I've been asked to share something with you, and as you can hear, my voice is a little bit tired. I was yesterday in an African wedding, so it's something. So they never stop dancing and singing till early in the morning. So excuse me for my voice already. And like Patrick said, this year the church has decided to go on mission. And a few weeks ago we went to Mallorca. And today you will have the opportunity to hear some stories of what God has done in Mallorca. And I think it was on Friday the team left to Kenya, is it correct? And soon there will be another team leaving to Albania. So as you see, we have decided as a church to go on a mission this year. And today I want to talk about one team, one mission. I believe that God has chosen us as the church to go on mission, but to achieve all the goals, to achieve the purpose, we need to work as a team. I believe that together as a team, we can do great things. I believe that there is power in unity. And we went to Mallorca, and because of your prayers, because of all your prayers, we have been able to see what God has done in the streets. I can tell you, without you, we couldn't make it. So I know that when we come together, when we pray together, when we worship together, there is power. That's why today I want to encourage us to be as a team, because I believe the church is a team. I play football for many years, and through this I have learned about what a team is about. And I want to share a little bit about that, because I believe church is the same. In a football team, you have different players with different nationalities, with different backgrounds, with different gifts, different positions. You have people who play goalkeepers, you have other people playing midfield. It's not one person who's playing all the positions. Because if the goalkeeper wants to be everywhere, the team will lose. Everybody has to understand what is position in the team. So, in the team, you also have people with selfish ambitions. Some players, I remember, and it was funny for me, because a football team is a team, but with selfish people. Because you can only put 11 players on the pitch. You can ask Michael, right? But you have sometimes you have 23 or even 30 players, and all of them wants to be in the pitch. So sometimes you wish that your partners get an injury so you can play. So of course it's a team, but we have our selfish ambitions. And some players are just playing to show themselves, because they are dreaming about their career. And it's not easy to play as a team. So I believe that as a church, we are also a team, because we have different people. We have different cultures. We have different beliefs. We have different ambitions. We have people who are more gifted. We have people who are less gifted, but still they have a gift. We have people who speak English with an English accent. But you also have people like me who don't speak with an American accent. So, but we are all part of the same team. And I believe the football team has one mission. And the mission is to win games. Every team plays to win games. Even if at the end you are not champion. But when you train, it's always with the purpose of winning games. And as a church, of course, we have one purpose. Our purpose is to share the gospel of Jesus. Our purpose is to serve people, is to love people, but we can do that only if we are together. The football team, to achieve its mission, faced some challenges. And the challenges they face, one of them is that they have to play together. It's a challenge. You have people from different cultures, people with different beliefs, people with different mindsets, people with their own ambitions, but they have to come together and be one team. I can tell you it's not easy. And as a church, we have to play together. It means we have to accept each other. Even if we have players who are not playing well, we have to accept them. Sometimes you play, and I remember when I was playing football, I only wanted to play with my friends, my close friends. But one day, there came some new players, and I didn't really like them. But the coach decided to put them in the team. So I had to give them the ball as well. And I can tell you it was difficult. And I was Christian already at that time. So it's not easy to play together when you have people with different ambitions. It's not easy to come and sometimes pray together when everybody has his own beliefs. But it is a challenge as a church. If we want to reach our mission, we have to come together and play. Some players are more gifted. And in church, we also have people who are more gifted. And thank God for that. We also have people who are less gifted. Thank God for that. Because the gift they have, maybe you don't have it. But we need everyone. We have people who speak different languages. We have people who only speak Dutch. Thank God for the Dutch people. We need everyone, right? Because it's a challenge to play together. It requires from us to put aside our selfish ambitions. Sometimes I know my dream was to become a football professional. But I believe that God broke that dream for me because I was too selfish. I recognize it. I was so selfish. And I was only focusing on my ambition. I was only seeing my purpose. But I believe that God wants a church with people who are different, but who have only one mission. We are one body, different members, but only one Lord and one Savior. So the first challenge is to learn to play together. Even sometimes we will not agree on everything, but still we have to play together. I remember one day we had a game, and we had arguments among the team. But the next day, we had to play. So we had to make sure that we put aside all our anger to go on the pitch and to play. And after the game, we can discuss about it. So it's a challenge. How do we do when we have an issue at church, but we still have to come and pray together? It's a challenge to learn how to play. The second challenge of the football team is to learn to win together. Winning together means when we achieve something, we have to come together and celebrate. When your brother or your sister has achieved something, why not come together and celebrate? I come from Africa, and I can tell you in Africa, we don't have this mindset of celebrating someone else's success. It's difficult because we are so selfish. But I believe that if we learn to celebrate when someone else has a success, when someone else has achieved something, we can become one. It's easy to only celebrate when you achieve something. But what about when your brother has accomplished something and you have accomplished anything? That's the challenge of a team. Not only we have to play together, but we also have to win together. We went to Mallorca, and today we will share about everything that God has done. Would you come with us and enjoy what God has done? That's the question. Or would you say, oh, that's nothing. I could have done more if I was there. That's the challenge. The third challenge is not only they have to win together, but sometimes they also have to learn to lose together. I also say that every time you lose, it's an opportunity for you to get better. I don't see a failure as something like, I don't know, like the end. No. For me, when I fail, I see it like, okay, it's an opportunity for me to learn something new. Maybe I didn't do it the right way. So every failure is an opportunity to get better. The team has to learn to lose together. I remember one day we played against a team and we were really good. But the team in front of us were really small. So we thought, piece of cake. We will win like 10-0. And in the first half, we were losing 4-0. And everybody was just, sad. And that time, I don't know why, I was always the captain. But I am, if you know me, I'm really shy. I'm introvert. And my goal was to talk to the team and try to motivate them. But it's not easy when you are sad yourself and you have to motivate other people. And I remember what my coach said. He said, a team is there to win together, but it's also there to lose together. It doesn't matter if you lose, but give your best and learn from this game. We went out and we won 5-4. And that game reminds me every day that even when we lose, there is something we can learn. So as a church, we can sometimes also, maybe we don't reach our goals, but what have we learned about that? Behind every failure, there is a lesson for you to learn to get better. Not only the team has to learn to play together, to win together, and to lose together, but also to grow together. As a church, we are called to grow together. When you play in a team, it's not just for one day. It's for one season. So it's a long time. You learn to grow together. You learn to get along with your partners. You learn to discover, I didn't know that you can play like this. I didn't know that you could cook. I didn't know that you could, you discover every day. The more I spend time in this church, and the more I get to know people, and the more I discover really amazing people. Why? Because I take time to talk with them. What about us? As we go on mission, we have to grow together. We have to teach each other. We have to learn from each other. So it's a challenge as a team, not only to grow together, but also to support each other. It's not easy to support each other when we are losing. It's easy when we win, but what about when we lose? I remember, I don't know if Michael, you remember, we played a game. He had a team, a football team, indoor. And the first game, we were losing, I think, 3-0. And it was not easy. We didn't know each other. I didn't know the person. But we learned quickly, and at the end, we did 3-3. So it means that we can still learn from each other. We have to be ready to open ourselves as well. As a church, we are called to open ourselves. Not to live our own Christianity, coming on Sunday, singing songs, and then you leave, and you go live your life. No, we are called to learn from each other, to talk to each other. That's how we can support each other. Do you know of a brother who is in need? Do you know the needs of the church? Do you know the needs of your sister? We went to Mallorca, and you pray for us because it was our need. We needed your support, because I can tell you that in the streets, it was not easy. And the team will tell you more about that. So I believe that a team is called to support each other, and the church also is called to support each other. No one can do everything by himself. No one. I thought about that when I was playing football. I thought, it's okay. I don't need anyone. I can do everything by myself. But I realized that even if you are Lionel Messi, for those of you who know him, or Arjen Robben for the Dutch people, you cannot do everything by yourself. You still need your partners. Even those who are weak, you still need them. So supporting each other is the next challenge. And the last challenge is to encourage each other. What about encouraging each other? When we went to Mallorca, it was not easy, I can tell you, as a team. We had also some difficult moments and some tough discussion. And Fritz is smiling already. because he knows it. It's not easy because we are different. We have different way of thinking. So it was a challenge to come together. But one night, I remember, after the discussion we had, we started to encourage each other, just saying positive words. And you don't have any idea what a word of encouragement can change, how it can change someone's life. What about encouraging each other? Saying like, hey, you know what, Annelise, I like when you sing, you really encourage me. Michael, I like when you play drums because it really inspires me. What about encouraging each other? Because the church is called to encourage each other. This is how we build ourselves, if we encourage each other. And I will give you just two verses before I close. One verse is in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2 and verse 3. Ephesians 4, verse 2, 3 says, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. I really like this verse. Even when I pray with my wife, because I believe that marriage is also a mission. And I believe that even marriage is a team. We are called to encourage each other. I am who I am today because of my wife. Because she helped me a lot to become better. So let us be gentle. Let us be humble. Let us be one in love. Let us put aside our selfish ambitions. Also, one thing I didn't say about the team, the football team, is that in a football team, you have one coach and you have one captain. The coach is there to make sure that the unity of the team is there. And I believe that as a church, the Holy Spirit is our coach. The Holy Spirit is the one who makes sure that we are one, that we are united. But the Holy Spirit chooses one captain. And for this church, the captain is our pastor. The captain cannot do everything by himself. The captain is there to make sure that the vision of the coach is also followed in the team. But he cannot do everything by himself. So he needs us. He needs you. He needs me. Because together we are a team. But we need a captain to make sure that we are following the instruction. And the last verse is in Proverbs chapter 27. Proverbs 27, verse 17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. This is one of my favorite verses. As iron sharpens iron. It's really amazing, like today we see knives, but we don't know that it requires another iron to sharpen it. And as a church, we are there to sharpen each one another. My wife is there to make sure that she can sharpen me because I'm really tough to sharpen. So God chose the best person for me to make me a better person. And I believe that God put the right person in this church to help you become the person that God wants you to become. So together as a team, would we come and pray, especially for those who are in Kenya? Because we are together, even if we are not with them. But we have to come and pray for them. So I will encourage you to understand that a church is a team. It's not about one person. It's about all of us. It's only about one Savior, and it's Jesus. So as we go on mission, let us come together. Let us play together. Let us grow together. Let us encourage each other and support each other. And my last question for you is that, would you accept to play with your brother or your sister, even if he is weaker than you? Even if he is not as gifted as you are? Let us accept each other. Amen. I want to give the opportunity for the Mallorca team to come and share about what God has done in Mallorca. So for you to get an idea of all, we have so many stories, and it's just incredible. I hope we will have the time to share everything. So I call Michael Janssen, Fritz, Patrick, and Emma. Where is Emma? Oh. Okay, ladies first.
That's what they say.
Hi, all. I don't know if we have the pictures ready.
We have pictures.
So, as you all know, we came back from Mallorca, and it was really, really, really nice. So, for those who don't know what we did, we had two teams. We had the 24/17, and we had also the Street Angels team. Can you show the next picture? Yes. So actually what we were doing with the Street Angels, we went out around 4 o'clock in the morning and we would wander the streets of Magaluf, where people go out, a lot of young people, and we would see if we could help them by bringing them to the hotel, because a lot of people drank so much that they didn't know or couldn't remember where the hotel was, or they arrived and then they dropped their bags in the hotel and then they left to go party and then they forgot where the hotel was. Some drank too much, so we helped them. We really were carrying them. Maybe you can show the next picture. Yeah, like walking them to their hotels. There were also worse cases where people took bad drugs with bad alcohol and they were actually in kind of a coma. So on several occasions, we also had to call the ambulance. There were people bleeding, so we had to clean them up. And with the 24/7 prayer team, we went out a bit earlier, around 11, and because people were still sober, so they were able to talk with us. So we went up to people and asked them, like, how are you? Just speaking with them, especially the people who are working there, because very often they go to people to ask if they can come in the clubs, but people just ignore them, like, you know, F off and things like that. So we would talk with them and just ask them how they were and then present ourselves, like we are a Christian organization and what we do. And people would, like, accept that we would pray for them, and we were able to talk about our experiences, about our testimonies and things like that. So there were several great encounters. I guess my brothers here will tell about what touched them. But there was one story that really touched me. We were out with it was the first night, actually, of 24/7, so the earlier team. And there was we went by a pub, and this man came up to us, and he asked, because we had this Street Angels. Street Angels are actually more known there. They are working there for at least 3 years, I think, now. But 24/7 are quite new, so they don't really recognize the 24/7, and more the Street Angels. So he went up to me, and he asked, were you out on Monday night? Like, it was a Thursday evening. And I said, no, we weren't. We weren't. And he said, because my son was found dead this morning in the sea. And so we asked, how come? And he said, he arrived, and I think the same day, because that's something that we saw a lot, people who came the same day, go out, and then they lose their friends, and they don't know how to go back. But he said, my son went missing on Monday, and we went to look for him, and this morning they found his body at 9:30 in the morning. And he said, unfortunately, you could not be there to help my son, but I really appreciate the work you do, because you can save lives, because a lot of time, I think I had the numbers, I think we brought home or to the hotel, I think at least 40 people with the Street Angels. We prayed for 100, we had 100 prayer requests, and so he was really touched by the fact that we would do this, and we saw him the next evening because he said he could not sleep. He was drinking so much just to forget the pain. And so every night we would meet him, and every night we would talk with him. And the next day we were able to give him a card with the verse that God is with those who mourn. And he told us afterwards, because we were seeing him almost every day, he said he talked to his wife back home, because he came just to pick the body and to come back with the body. He said, I shared with my wife what you were doing, and she was crying, and she was so touched by it. And he was saying, I'm not a Christian, but can you please pray for me? And I'm really open to it, and maybe one day I will give my life to Christ. And he was so interested. And so what we did, we separated in three groups, and at a certain time of the night, we would gather again, and then we would share all the prayer requests we had, and we would pray together for all the prayer requests. And I told this man, his name was Warren Todd, and every time he would see somebody of the team, he would ask them, like, are you also praying for me? Like, are you also praying for me? And he was so touched by it, and he was, like, tearing up, and he remembered all of our names. He knew how Patrick, Emma, and it was so... I'm saying all of this just to say thank you for supporting us, because God really exceeded at least my expectation, I think, of everyone. And, I mean, it was such an honor to be able to help the people there. And you all made it also possible. Maybe somebody else will share it, but, I mean, even the money you provide for us, we were able to eat with that. So it really, really helped us. And also the notes, your encouragements you wrote for us. The local team was also with us for a part when we were sharing that, and I really, really felt encouraged. And I also believe that if you weren't there, then it wouldn't have had the same effect, people praying for us. So it was a great experience. I hope you will all come with us next year.
Good afternoon. Well... what to say? It was a special time. It was more positive than I could ever expect. I thought we're going to have a hard time, especially on the streets, praying for people. I didn't expect people to be so open. And they were much more open than I thought. And it was actually one guy at a bar, he got to know us really early. And... he actually, when he saw us and people asked us, what are you, 24/7 Magaluf? Is that a bar? And he was like, no. They are real Christians. They are really. They don't judge people. They just come here and pray and help people. They do good stuff. So that was kind of like, he was not even a Christian at all. And that was great. And so the positive vibe was really surprising. And helping the people, serving others, not judging at all. I mean, I learned a lot. These guys were so beautiful. I mean, I never had a father when I was younger. My father and mother were divorced. Then my mother got a new friend, and he was a truck driver, so he was never at home. And in these 2 weeks, I gained a brotherly father. And I just want to thank God that he sent me on this trip, because from before the trip and after the trip, I'm totally different in my spiritual being. I have a totally different relation with God than before. I really connected in another way. I pray in a different way. I'm really much more open. And yeah, I'm just happy that I was able to do this, because I needed it. And thank you for making it all able for us. Thank you. Anybody? Otherwise, I'm going to be crying.
Okay. Sorry, I'm not wearing my shirt. I do have one. You can see the pictures, like, I was there. yeah, I'm just going to share some things. The thing is, we experienced so much. Every night you would meet at least, I think, 50 people that you would talk with, and some people, you experienced something deeper with. So every night we had many stories. And also you got to know the stories from the other teams that were out on the street, so you really experienced a lot in these 2 weeks. One thing Yeah, so on the last night, we were out with 24/7. I was walking with one other girl with the blonde hair in the picture you said. And for, I think, half an hour, three quarters of an hour, we hadn't had any, we said hi, hello, how are you, but we didn't really have meaningful conversations with people. So then we just began praying, like, okay, should we go left, should we go right? yeah, we just tried things. And then at one point we had a feeling, oh, let's go left. And then we walked along the beach, and there was a girl sitting on the, yeah, there was a stone wall. And we said hi, and she immediately began talking to us. She was really open and shared a lot about her life. She was there on holiday with some friends, about 30 years old. She had a kid, and she explained that she was thinking about changing her life, and she wanted to go work in a prison. So then we got to talk about, hey, this is what we do. We pray for people. And she was really open. She shared a prayer request. And then something amazing happened for me, because I don't really experience that often, because God gave a prophetic word to the other girl, for the girl that was sitting there. And it was about that she, God will use her to, that her words will change people in the prisons, so that a few words of her can change the life of other people. And she was really touched by it. I think she never experienced any contact with God, any prayer for her. So there was just one of the stories. Another guy that really stands out is a DJ called Twitch. and his name really said something about what he what he did, because he was really like acting this way. So he was somebody, we were just walking in the streets, and he came up to us and he said, hey, you are the guys that pray, right? So yeah, we were out for just two nights then, I guess. So he said, I want prayer. So can I just ask anything? How does it work? So we pray for anything. Also, if people ask something you don't really want to pray for, then you use it as an excuse to pray for a lot of other things that that you do want to pray for. So we said, yeah, sure. So he wanted us to pray for his set list tonight, because he got paid according to how well he did. So we did. And then the next evening, another team met him, and he had the best set list of his career. So he got the best payment of his career. So that was a good start. and he also had Gilles de la Tourette, that you have like spasm things. So I think the prayer for the set list opened up the conversation to pray also for his Gilles de la Tourette. So I'm really wondering what will happen next in the season when various teams encounter him and get to pray for him more. He was really extremely open, and so many people were so open. It's amazing. If you just offer to help them and pray for them, almost nobody is negative about that. So it's really something I also want to do more here in Maastricht. Then to close, one other experience. So you're out with a team often, and you're in a house all together. Of course, we can go out and walk in the street alone for some time, but most of the time you're together. So one time, the leadership team took us out, and we drove for, I think, half an hour. And then they brought us to such an amazingly beautiful place. It was surrounded with mountains, and there was a little port. The sun was going down, and there was like a quiet music playing in the background. All colors came out in the things you saw, because the sun was going down. It was so amazingly beautiful. And then they just said, like, go sit somewhere and listen to what God says. So I was imagining, and I was thinking, and I really experienced a God. He made all this, and he also made me. He made us. So at that time, I really experienced him as a father. And it is amazing that it helps you such an experience that God is behind you, that God made you to go out on the streets again. And then that night, you're full of energy again. So that was also, that's really something that impacted me.
Hello again. Okay, I have one experience with the street angels, because like Emma said, we went on the street and we took care of people who are really drunk, and our mission was just to take them back to the hotel. But some of them couldn't even remember their name, so it was difficult. We took them at the hotel, and when we came at the hotel, they couldn't remember the name, so the hotel could not accept them until they say the name. So I remember one guy we brought back to his hotel. I think I was with you, right? Yeah, and we spent like, 30 minutes maybe, trying to make him speak and say his name. And we saw his name on the computer, but we couldn't, you know, help him. He had to say it by himself. So we were like, come on, say Robert. I don't know if you help someone who's really drunk to speak. He said all kind of surnames, like, yeah, Patrick, Eric, but not Robert. And it was really difficult. But thank God, in the end, I don't know how he did it, but he said not only his first name, but all the name. And it was correct. And then we brought him back to his hotel. And the next day, I remember, we brought back another guy. And he asked us, most of them asked us this question: why are you doing this? Why are you leaving your country to come here as a volunteer, knowing that this place is really a place of darkness? And one of the guy, when we walked him to his hotel, he stopped in the center of the road, and he bowed down, and he was doing like this. He said, "I am about to cry because of what you did." He was beaten up in the club, but he said, "I'm not crying because of all the pain, but I'm crying because of what you are doing, because I don't understand it." And for me, it stayed in my head. And another experience with the 24/7, because we went to pray with people. We pray with a lot of people in the street, and many of them asked us to pray for their mother, their parents. And one night, We went to in front of one of the biggest club actually there, and one of the girls said, "I would like to pray with you right now. Can we hold our hands and pray?" So she knew that to pray we hold hands. I was like, "Who told you that?" Okay, but we prayed together on the street, and we had so many stories like this. And because of your prayers, actually, God prepared the heart of the people. So I really want to thank you for everything that you have done, because of your prayers, we have seen what God has done. So thank you very much.
Thank you all again. I think they've all kind of said most of what I'll be repeating. But the thing was that before we left, we have to work with a 24/7 prayer ministry. This is the shed we had. And like Emma said, the street angels, we already like there for about 3 years ago. So the partnership together. So we already, before we left, we already kind of have a information through 24/7. We're liaising with them. So we got there, they pick us up. And then the first night we were out on the streets, we kind of walk in two ways. We walk the street angels from 4 a.m. to 8 a.m. in the morning. And with the prayer minutes, 24/7, we walk from about 10 p.m. to about 4 a.m. And in between we pray. But like they all said, it was amazing. It's an experience. You have to experience yourself to be able to feel it. But one thing that stood out was like, this was done because of the love of God. Because God loved us. And he loved us so much that he gave his only begotten son to die for us. And it was amazing that when we go out on the street every morning and you pick people on the street, sometimes they puke on you, there's blood. You know, somebody cannot say his name. But then we had this armband. On the band is the website for street angels and the telephone number. So they gave us a couple of them and some cards to write prayer requests. So whenever we're able to revive somebody and get them talking, so we just put the band on their hand in case if he has problem next time, people can call the number and people come to pick them up. But for me, what was really touching was that we didn't have to go there and started to talk to them about denomination, about church and all of that. But we just served them through the acts of love of Christ. And they responded to that. Like 2-3 days after we go out on the street with street angels or the 24/7, every time we come out on the street, they just kind of know us. And they come, can you pray for me? They embrace us so hard that you could feel the love in the air. And for me, that was very touching. And then there's a couple of experiences I also had. There's this girl they call Melissa. Because also, the island is just packed with British. They have all the pubs, all the clubs, and the drinking stuff. So they have some people they employ to work for them to stay on the street and bring customers to drink and all of that. So they call them the PRO, public relation officer. So Melissa was one of the guests who worked for them. And at a point, I think it was one of the 24/7 praying thing, we were out. Normally when we come on the street, they want to also like just sweet talk us to come and drink. And then we tell them we are working. And they said, what kind of work do you do? What's 27 anyway? What's street angels? So we just told them, okay, we are a voluntary organization. We come here to help people who are drunk and on the street. And say, wow, how can you do that? And say, yeah, because we love God. God loved us and we've experienced his love. So we're just sharing that with people. So like they've all said, these are people we didn't know, but they got to open up. She was crying because she said she's been here for a while. She lost her dad. She couldn't go home. She was crying for her mom, and they can open up to you and tell them their pain. So sometimes you realize people were looking for love in the wrong places. Some of them gone drunk because they couldn't find true love. And that was what we were able to offer them. And yeah, for me, it's amazing. There was this DJ guy, Twitch, they talk about. He's such an exciting young man. He's you need to see the vibrance in him. And he loves his job. He loves what he do. But again, when we're flying from Germany to Mallorca, the guy I sat with in the plane is a footballer. And he told me he was going to Palma. Palma is another part of the island that they just finished playing. And he's going to get himself drunk and party for 1 week. And I was sitting close to him and I was saying, but we are going to preach against this. So where do I start? How do I start the conversation here? And then he asked me, what are you doing? Why are you going on vacation? I said, we are going on vacation and a mission. So we are going to help some people to talk on the street and not drink. And I said, but I'm going to party and nobody can tell me not to drink. So I really didn't know how to talk to him. But then I was just praying, okay. When we landed and we're going out, he came back to me and just like, have five and say, have fun with whatever you are going to do. And I told him, have fun and don't get too drunk so that you don't get back home. And I pray that God will be with you. And I said, God? So, but the bottom line is, we met so many people. There was also this girl called Brooke. She wanted to be in the military, but she couldn't be because she had a problem with her parents and all of that. And she left home. She came there to work. And then at the end, she couldn't even make enough money to pay her bills and all of that. And then we just kind of, like Blaise said, the question they always ask, why do you do this? Why? And we told them we have experienced God's love. But the bottom line is just that no matter what we do in life, it's all about the love of God. He sent us out. We might be born in and have all of this stuff. The bigger picture is, he said, go you into the world and preach the gospel. And that's what we are out to do. And I'm saying this on behalf of the pastor. I've been able to work with him for the last 2 years. And his heart is about spreading gospel. So I just want to say that as we begin to go on the mission, I encourage people to go. He said for the next 3 years, he wants us 70 people from the church to be able to go on mission. Not just the same set of people going, but different people going for mission. And I've come to know him. When he set his heart on something, he's just not asking us to do things. He lead by example. Like you all know, from the food package work, he's done all. This is the second time he's going to Kenya. And he's also that person that if it's just one person who has a problem in the church, he's there. with that person. I've been with him a couple of times, places, and this is something that is after his heart. So, like Blaise talked about this morning, one team and one mission, we are a body of Christ. We cannot separate from each other. We cannot do not to work with each other. And the book of John 17 to 19 talks about, or Christ talked about, his mission of coming to the world was that God sent him to come and change the world and love people for who they are, and that he do the will of his Father. And for us to be able to work together, like he beautifully said it, Pastor Math is the captain of our ship. We are responsible and answerable to the Lord Jesus Christ. We should join our faith together in working with him. And like they said, we cannot underestimate the power of prayers. We thank the church for praying for us, you know, while we were there. The notes that you wrote, you know, we shared it, we read it, and that was encouraging to us. And Christine was like sending us messages all the time. And also, like they said, that offering was raised for us, and we were able to use that to eat. So I also just wanted to say that I have been opportune to work for the church and in some kind of level. Like Becky said this morning, there are those of us here, we don't get to say thank you enough. I want to say thank you. I've represented the church in some meetings. And in Eindhoven or Rotterdam or Amsterdam, every time the group talks, it makes me feel I'm happy that I'm here. God put me here. One time I went with Martin. We're driving back. He also said, if I'm giving another church, I don't want to change it. I want to be here. So for the last 5 years, God has worked in our midst. Everything we set out to achieve from the beginning, we have gotten there. So I just want to say thank you very, very much. And let's stand behind the Kenya team and just pray for them. I'm sorry about this, but you need to experience the love of God, and then you can know what it means. Praise the Lord.